After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, for when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way.
Became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him.
Thank you. There's a rose in Bethlehem with a beauty quite divine, perfect in this world of sin, on this silent holy night. There's a fragrance much like hope that it sends upon the wind, reaching out to every soul from a lowly manger's crib. Oh, Rose of Bethlehem, how there's a rose in Bethlehem, covered red like mercy's blood. 'Tis the flower of our faith, 'tis the blossom of God's love. Though the bloom is fresh with you, surely what will be knows, for a tear of morning dew is rolling down the rose. Oh, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure, sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. There's a rose in Bethlehem with a beauty quite divine, perfect in this world of sin, on this silent holy night. Oh, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure, and sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me.
The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory, at his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Oh, at midnight, who is he? Praise in dark Gethsemane. Who is he on yonder tree? Dies in grief and agony. 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he that from the grave comes to heal and help and save? Who is he that from his throne rules through all the world alone? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord omnipotent reigns, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done.
Please stand with me as we sing this piece.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
What a joyful time. What a blessing to be in the house of God, praising God, giving worship to our God. And what a joy to hear all those scriptures read and to hear that beautiful music and to rejoice in our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I'd like to spend just a couple minutes talking to you about a passage that we didn't read tonight from Matthew chapter 1. One verse that I'd like to read to you, verse 21 of chapter 1. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'd like to challenge the children. In the next few minutes, I'm going to say the theme of this verse five times, and you can tell me what it was when we're done, okay? So you have to listen up. Matthew opens his gospel with a genealogy. A genealogy sometimes we feel are not that important, that significant. But as we read through the genealogy, we see how Jesus is connected to Abraham and to David. This genealogy, we understand, teaches us about Jesus being the Son of God. He is man. He descends from David and Abraham. Jesus was the fulfillment of the word of the angel and Mary, Luke 1:31, the man-child conceived by God himself through the Holy Spirit. As prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, therefore, he's also the Son of God. Son of man, Son of God. This son did not have the mark of the rebellious nature of Adam. As God, he was born without sin, without that curse that affects and plagues every other man. Jesus lived a perfect life, completely submitted to the will of his Father, who sent him to do a work which only God could do. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus was God himself in all appearance, very God and very man. Jesus, though born in the flesh, was the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. All of his creation was made reflecting his goodness. But Jesus' marvelous work of creation had become polluted, broken, darkened by the rebellion of the sin of his people. So this creator, the eternal Son of God, submitted to the will of the Father and took on the flesh and blood that he had created from the dust of the earth. In humility, he came to live among his fallen creation. Jesus came in the flesh, but he came without sin. He came into the world on a dark night in Bethlehem, a Jew in David's line, in the exact place prophesied by the prophet Micah over 700 years before. But the world knew him not. Jesus came into the dark of that night to be the light of the world, not born in a palace befitting of a king or the Son of God, but rather the eternal Almighty God chose to be born in a smelly stable among the resting animals and was only wrapped with strips of cloth, or as Pastor said this morning, rags, by his poor parents. He was not welcomed in the world except by simple shepherds of the field. But Jesus had a purposeful life. He came to die, but not as other men, because he was without sin. He could not naturally die. Jesus came to die for the people that the Father had given him, to save his people from their sins. And Jesus would die the worst death, the most humiliating death, the cursed death on a tree by his own will. He died that his people might be saved from the just wrath of God, for the holy God rightly judges every sin. Jesus came to provide his people the righteousness that they could never achieve in their own efforts. His salvation work provided for those of every race, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. There were no limitations. Men's works can never achieve an eternal good. But the work of Jesus was the work of infinite value and with eternal consequences, even securing eternal life. He came for the purpose determined before the beginning of time. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. His sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice, the end of the Old Testament sacrificial system. It is finished, perfectly completed. As John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. Jesus has done it all. Jesus did what no one else ever could do. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God who died to open the gates of heaven for an eternal reign with him. Righteousness before our holy God has been obtained by Jesus for his people. So the question is, do you believe this? There's no other way. He has told us clearly there is no other way. Come to Christ. Receive the eternal salvation and righteousness you can never earn by yourself. Jesus' work is sufficient and it is complete. It is finished. Come to Christ. And now Jesus sits on his glorious throne, his glory reinstated by the Father. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, serving as our great high priest, our advocate, the eternal Son of God and Son of Man. So at this season, we remember Jesus' great love, his great love in coming to live among us and to die for us, the very Lamb of God who takes away our sins, the Savior of the world. Jesus did achieve his purpose. He came to save his people from their sins. We pray and we magnify the Lord with his mother Mary in Luke 1, 46 to 47. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And we sing with the angels, which the Father sent to the shepherds that dark, triumphant night. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Mr. Will.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight among your people to sing your praises, praises of your Son, and to read your word. We pray this Christmas that the light of hope, the light of Christ, would pierce through the darkness, the light of your grace, your mercy, forgiveness of sins, and the birth of the one whose name is Jesus, because he will save his people from our sins. We pray in his name, amen.
We have heard the gospel. We have rejoiced and worshiped in the gospel. What remains is to go and tell the gospel. So stand with me if you will, and we will sing this hymn together. And if you do not sing loud, you will probably not be heard. So join with me, Jenny.